Hello everybody and welcome to tonight's stream. I hope this is coming over live and clear because we are indeed live, and we're live on Rumble, we're live on Odyssey, and we're live on DLive and Entropy, live in all those good places. And if you're watching this live, hopefully you'll enjoy it and share it because I've shared it on Telegram and Gab, but I can't share it on Twitter because Elon Musk has banned me, because I speak the truth about issues such as the one I'm going to be talking about tonight, issues he's still not allowing free speech over. And this is one of the most important issues I will talk about this year. And I've spoken about some very important issues this year, but this is something which is incredibly important. And I hope you will stick around for the entirety of the stream, because it's going to be a bit different to what you might have initially thought it was going to be. Now, before we go into tonight's stream, I want to say there's a lot of things I did want to talk about tonight. I wanted to talk about these jury trials. I also wanted to talk about Labour's budget. And I also wanted to talk about the scandal of the Department for Work and Pensions giving up to £6,513 a year to migrants with second wives or even third wives. So if they get a third wife, I believe that number's doubled to sort of over 13,000 a year. And there's so many things happening like this now, so many huge betrayals. I could probably do sort of a 4 or 5 hour stream on just what's been in one news cycle. Now, I'm not sure about you guys. I don't know whether you'd want me talking into the camera on my own for 4 or 5 hours. But if you do, I mean, you know, if you do, it could happen. But I'm not sure whether you could all stomach that. But there's a lot of things to talk about. Now, obviously, we're going to talk about donations next. And if you want me to talk about any of these other things, and if there is time, I would happily address them as and when the audience desires. And that's an important point because, look, I do rely on your kindness and your generosity. And if you would like to donate, please do. You can donate via Entropy. You can donate via Rumble. Anything is very, very gratefully received. I really do rely on people doing this. If donations don't come in, I unfortunately don't get to do this anymore, and I don't get to work on things like this. And I do put a lot of effort into producing these presentations. I'm not somebody who just puts a question into AI, sets it to an AI voice, and asks for a video to be generated somewhere and uploads slop every day. These are things that I research. These are things that I speak to legal professionals about, as I have in this case. These are things that I look into and give a proper overview, then answer questions afterwards. And if you think I deserve a small donation for that, I'd be very happy about that. Now, I always say nothing goes behind the paywall, whatever you can afford, $3, $5, $10. But if you can afford more and you want to give more, I would really appreciate that. And I'm always very grateful for anything that is sent. And you can do that via Entropy and Rumble. Now, remember, if you're watching this on replay, because I usually get a few hundred people watching live and I get thousands more on replay. Some of my biggest streams recently have had, you know, 20,000 plus views per stream on just one singular platform. But if you're one of those people enjoying this on replay, please, please do consider also giving a donation if you haven't caught it live. The Entropy links from the description below. You can donate whenever you want, or you can become a member on Rumble, setting up a recurring donation. And also, if you wish, you can donate via cryptocurrency, all those magic beans that you can buy online. You can donate those to me as well, and all the crypto links from the description below. Now, you can also write to me at mark@thefallofwestonman.com. So anyway, let's get into the stream. And as I said, if you are watching, want to give a donation, whether you're watching live or whether you're watching on replay, please do consider that. Anyway, let's get into the stream. And at the end, remember, there's a question and answer session. So if you do give a donation, you can ask a question. I'll answer anything you ask me live on stream at the end, whether it relates to this stream or other things in the news cycle. But this isn't just going to be the stream you probably thought it was going to be. Now, the stream you might have thought this was going to be would be me basically just talking about Brian Leveson, or Sir Brian Leveson. He's the Jewish individual that you see on the image, and he was the man who was actually behind all of this. Now, you know that, and we'll be talking about that a bit in a minute. But before we do that, I think it's important to talk about jury trials and how historic this is, because a lot of people don't know the history of jury trials. Now, don't worry, this isn't going to be Mark talking for 25 minutes about jury trials before we get to the meat of what you want to hear the present day. But I do think it's important we talk about this. So it's a balanced presentation that covers everything from a legal point of view. And also, I do enjoy doing this. I enjoy these long form streams. And obviously, I am doing this live. You know, hello. It's not pre-recorded or anything. I'm not one of these people who spends hours pre-recording it and then runs it as if it's live. It is live. I am here. You know, if you ask questions at the end, you will get a live answer. So it's sort of important, though, that I make this into a self-contained presentation. So if you send this to someone else, or you send this to members of your family or your friends, they understand the gravity of this. And it is a very serious situation, because jury trials are embedded not just in English law, which was once regarded as the fairest legal system in the whole world, but jury trials are embedded in England, in our DNA, in our people. And they go back for over 1,000 years. So jury trials, in their most rudimentary form, actually began all the way back in England during the late Anglo-Saxon period. And they were first specifically referenced in law in 997 AD. So that isn't the last millennium, but the millennium before that. We're not talking a few centuries here. We're talking over 1,000 years. And they were referenced back in the Anglo-Saxon period. So that's before the Norman invasion. That's before 1066. That's before William the Conqueror arrived here. Now, they evolved from that point, and then they were formally established in law under King Henry II. Now, that was in the mid-12th century. Then the modern form of the jury trial was cemented finally in law and codified after the church abolished trial by ordeal in 1215. And here's the crucial thing. The Magna Carta guaranteed the right to a lawful judgment by one's peers. And we'll come back to that, because that's really important. What we're talking about here is trial by one's peers. We're not talking about trial by some paid official. We're not talking about trial by a man of the cloth. We're not talking about trial by a politician or a king or somebody who is a member of the landed gentry. We're talking about trial by one's peers, by people on your level. You are tried effectively by the common man. And that is very, very important. And that's going to be a thread. People who've watched these before know I do this. That's going to be a thread that runs throughout tonight's discussion. And it's so, so important. It's so, so important. So that's the history of jury trials in England, in a nutshell. And jury trials, they're important because they form the very cornerstone of our justice system. And to say that they're vital to democracy and to democratic institutions is an understatement. They are literally the safeguards that ensure individual liberties are preserved against the power of an overzealous, highly politicized state, which is what we're moving towards today. Now, why are jury trials so important? Well, we're going to summarize this because all of this is going to lead up to where we are today. Well, first, they are a safeguard against state power. They act as a crucial check on the power of governments, judges, and prosecutors. And they ensure that no one is punished by the state unless a group of fellow normal citizens agree they're guilty. And that's there to prevent potential abuses of power by authority, whether that be the church, the state, and it prevents the enforcement of unjust laws. Because if a jury believes that the law is unjust, they can always vote to acquit. So if a government passes a law which is completely unfair, and normal people view it to be unfair and unconstitutional, undemocratic. This is an important check on the power of governments. Second, the decision by peers. So the principle of being tried by a lawful judgment of one's peers is more than just a safeguard. It actually ensures that the verdict is delivered by a cross-section of the community rather than by a professional from an often socially removed part of society. So somebody within the judiciary. And interestingly, this actually brings something that we often talk of in a bad way, diversity of perspectives to the legal process, because the judiciary often come from a certain subset of society, and they are often people who are removed from the daily struggle that normal people endure. So people who are judges, people who are magistrates, people who are barristers, people who silks, king's councils, these are people that usually come from a very privileged background. They're usually people who are educated, they've done their A-levels, they've gone to university, and people who pass through that process are usually people who are very different to the average man on the street. They're not like builders. They're not like people who work in an office all day. They're not like school teachers. They're not like single mums. They are far removed from the normal man on the street. So this isn't just about safeguarding against an overzealous politicized government. It's actually about ensuring that you don't build a privileged in-group that are part of the judiciary, that are removed from normal people, but then pass judgment on normal people. The next issue is public confidence and legitimacy. So for a legal system to be just and legitimate, you actually have to ensure the people believe in it. If people don't believe in it, it ceases to be legitimate. And at that point, it's not good for purpose. It's not fit for purpose. So you involve ordinary citizens directly in the administration of justice, and jury trials involve the public, which basically builds public confidence in the system, and it shows that there's fairness and integrity within that legal process. People are more likely to believe in the system and put trust in the system if they participate in that system and the system reflects their values, their thoughts, their concerns. And normal people believe that their standards of fairness are reflected in that legal system. Jury trials also ensure impartiality and reduced bias. No, I said reduced there. You can get biased juries. You know, if you draw a jury from a certain section of the country and you try somebody who has maybe offended that certain section of the country, there can still be bias. I'm not saying there isn't bias in jury trials, but it's reduced bias because it's a collective decision made by 12 people who are randomly selected. And this helps to mitigate the potential for individual bias, prejudice, or error. But you see, when you've got a single judge, he does have his own opinions. He's not a computer system. He's not an impartial robot that looks at things, you know, in black and white. He's somebody that has his own personal preferences, individual biases. And one person can make a mistake. But when you have 12 people there and they argue it out, it helps to mitigate for these things. Plus, when you have a jury trial, it's impartial and bias is reduced because the secrecy, the jury secretly deliberates. So they debate the case freely. Whereas if it's a judge, you know exactly who that judge is. The jury don't get named at the end of the case. There is no external pressure applied on a jury because their names, their pictures, they're not published. But a judge, he can have political pressure applied to him. And that's another reason why jury trials are so extremely important. The next issue is jury trials are seen to infuse the justice system with what is known as common sense. Trials and legal procedures are often extremely complex. And when you have complex systems created by extremely intelligent people, those people, as we said earlier, can be a little bit removed from normality. They can be removed from reality, and they can create these strict mechanisms and applications of legal rules that sometimes don't really fit with the real world. But juries, normal people, can come in and apply a degree of common sense and community norms to a trial. They can say, well, normal people speak like this. Normal people act like this. This is how a normal person feels. I know people who say and do these things every day. This shouldn't be a crime. And this is something that's very important for balancing a legal system. A legal system should always be a balanced system, a system that reflects not just what politicians, leading members of the judiciary and other legal minds come up with. It should also reflect common sense. It should reflect the will of the people. It should reflect how normal people act and make allowances for that. And that's another reason why juries are important. Finally, it reflects both civic education and engagement. Jury service is one of the most substantial opportunities for people to actually participate directly in the democratic process. I know what you're saying, well, this is, how's this democracy? You know, democracy is voting, it's political parties. No. This allows normal people to steer the way the courts work, to steer the way law is made, because law is made in the English system based on precedent. And this allows people to have a say in how that precedent is made, because if they say somebody is not guilty, a precedent is set that the CPS and that the legal mechanism should not pursue cases against people who have done that particular thing again. It's very, very important. It goes on to help people understand legal procedures, and it fosters a sense of responsibility. And really, it brings normal people into the justice system so that normal people have this say, they have faith in the justice system, and they can help shape the justice system. All of this is extremely important. And to sum this up, I'm going to give you a quote from Lord Devlin, who was a respected English judge, and he summarized the jury's importance in 1956 when he wrote the following. He said, and I quote, the jury is effectively the lamp that shows that freedom lives. So respected judges used to believe that juries were literally the light of our judicial system, that they were the sign that we were free and that England was a free country and that we had the ability to have free speech, to do things which tested the legal system if the legal system was acting in a draconian manner, and normal people could then help steer the judicial system back in the right way. And that these things are all really important. So I know we've not quite got into what we wanted to talk about tonight, but I think all of this is very, very important. And it's important to understand how the legal system works. It's important to understand why juries are important. It's not enough just to say, well, you know, juries are something that exists, we like them, we should keep them. You know, it's important to know the history and why they are so important. Anyway, we're now going to move on to the modern day. Now, as you all know, the Labour government are trying to do away with jury trials. And that's why we're here tonight. That's what we're going to discuss. And this has been all over the news. This has been the big issue of the day. And there's been a lot of people who've had a lot of say on this. I think even the Trump administration has chimed in on this. And there's generally been outrage, but Labour are pushing ahead with this. Now, I'm going to start reading this from the Daily Mail so we can see what the press initially said. And we're going to skip through this. So here we go. From the Daily Mail, Labour's desperate plan to ditch 800-year-old right to jury, which is older than that, we've already discussed that, is met. I mean, they're probably going from the time it was officially sort of codified into law back in 1215. But the actual first time the jury was mentioned was 997, which is significantly before that. So the Daily Mail needs to probably at least do a little bit of fact-checking before they do these articles. It's met with fury as David Lammy insists he needs to save the court system from collapse. Well, he's completely lying, and David Lammy is a liar because he previously said how important juries are, but now he doesn't seem to care. David Lammy is, or he does care, and I'm going to explain why he cares very shortly. David Lammy is facing a major backlash today after he insisted he had no choice but to scrap the centuries-old right to jury trial for thousands of defendants to avoid the collapse of the criminal justice system. The Justice Secretary warned the courts are on the brink today ahead of an announcement of a major overhaul of the justice system, but he's facing huge anger from politicians and lawyers, kickback over the plans to drastically scale back the ability of some defendants to used to be tried by their peers, a right going back 800 years. Longer than 800 years, obviously. Reports suggest jury trials could be limited to the most serious offences, such as rape and murder, with crimes attracting shorter prison sentences heard by judges alone or magistrates. Mr. Lammy this morning insisted juries remain fundamental to the legal system in a car crash media round where he admitted a further 12 prisoners had been wrongly released in the past month. I'd love to know the ethnicities of those guys. Let us guess. But he suggested that allowing them to hear so-called either-way cases where defendants can choose to be tried by either a magistrate or Crown Court was clogging up the system. He accused criminals of playing the system to avoid pleading guilty for as long as possible. He told BBC Breakfast, if you steal an iPhone this afternoon from Curry's, you should you be able to opt to have a jury. Well, yeah, you should. The trial may take 2 days, and inevitably that will cause further delay for more serious and egregious crimes like rape or murder. And we're going to debunk this later. But both the Tories and Lib Dems have attacked the proposal and called for it to be scrapped. Shadow Justice Secretary Robert Jenrick accused Mr. Lammy of abandoning his principles while in government. Did he ever have any principles? Probably not. Having previously defended juries when he was in opposition, this year alone, 21,000 court sitting days have been missed and the court backlog is up 10% on their watch, he said. Instead of depriving British citizens of ancient liberties, David Lammy should get his own department in order. And there he is in his wig, you know, he calls himself an Englishman. So the Deputy Prime Minister will lay out his plan in Parliament today to tackle the court's emergency over a backlog of cases totaling more than 78,000. So it follows warnings from a senior barrister that judges could be at risk of intimidation by criminal gangs if the majority of trials are abolished. I don't think so. That's nonsense. Mr. Lammy said, today I'm calling time on the court's emergency that has left victims of the most serious crimes waiting years for justice and pushed the justice system to the brink of collapse. For many victims, justice is delayed, is often denied. Yeah, he's making out this is for the victims. They've also had the gall to say this is about making sure rape victims get justice. Well, where was David Lammy and his friends when hundreds of thousands of white British girls were getting groomed by migrant men? Well, him and his friends were busy covering it up. By the way, I'm not saying he specifically was involved in the cover-up, but potentially many of his friends were, and Labour councils certainly were. And he goes on about, it goes on and on and on. I'm not going to read all this because it's basically pages and pages. So that's what the media are saying. The media are basically saying that, you know, we're not going to have jury trials anymore. But you've got to ask yourself, when you see things like this, what does that actually mean? What's this actually going to mean for normal people? Because there's always what the media says and what the changes actually will be in reality for normal people in their everyday lives. So let's have a look what reality is going to look like. And we're going to have a quick look here because this is from, oh, do I accept their cookies? I'll reject them. UK Parliament, written questions, answers and statements, criminal court reform statement made on the 2nd of December, 2025. And we're going to skip all the preamble and we're going to read what David Lammy has to say. He says, today I am confirming that the government agrees with Sir Brian's blueprint for structural reform and intends to legislate for the following measures. So this is what the reforms will actually bring. And again, this is very important because I don't think it's enough just to say to people, well, this is going to be the end of jury trials. It's important to know what the actual legislation will bring about, because at the moment there's lots of stories. Is it going to be 3 years? Is it going to be 5 years? What else is going to happen? So let's read this and break it down. Well, firstly, magistrates' court sentencing powers will increase to 18 months with provision to extend to 24 months if necessary to relieve pressure in the Crown Court. So essentially he says 18 months, but then he says 24 months. Well, at the moment, magistrates' courts can only sentence people to a maximum of 12 months custodial sentence. He's effectively doubling that in the stroke of a pen, which for a start is going to give magistrates far more powers. Now, magistrates are people who are politically active. They are people who are chosen often for their political allegiance. You can have a panel of three magistrates or you can have a single magistrate, and now they will be able to jail people for up to 24 months, which is 2 years. So you're already straight away ensuring that a large number of people will now be sentenced, not because of what a jury thinks, but because of what magistrates have thought, what politically appointed magistrates think. So straight away, you've massively increased the remit of magistrates' courts and taken away safeguards that have existed for over 1,000 years. Absolutely insane. Now, the second point is even worse. The right of defendants to elect for a jury trial will be removed, meaning that it will be for the court to determine whether a case will be based on the severity of offences. So this is something else. If you were arrested and you felt you weren't going to get a fair trial in front of the magistrates, you could turn around and say, I want this to be heard by a jury. I think I'm being persecuted. I think this is politically motivated. I want this to be heard by a jury of my peers because what's being done to me is unfair. That is now being removed. And we know where this is going, don't we? You know, magistrates can now give up to 24 months. Sam Melia got 24 months custodial sentence. You could easily, at this point, ensure that many people who were arrested for things such as speech crimes, social media posts, that were going to get 24 months or less were denied jury trials. And that's something that we're going to come back to. The appeals process for magistrates' courts will be reformed so that automatic appeals to the Crown Court in criminal cases are replaced by a permission stage limited to points of law. So now, if you are dealt with unfairly at the magistrates' court, you're not going to be able to appeal. You're not immediately going to be able to go to Crown Court and appeal the case. You are now going to have to go in front of a judge who will be limited to arguing the points on points of law. So at this point, you are also removing another important safeguard, which is they're saying, oh, you'll still have the right to appeal, but you won't go to an appeal in front of the Crown Court, in front of a jury. You will go to appeal in front of a single person, a judge, and your appeal will be limited to points of law during a permission stage. So this is really, really crazy. Again, another major safeguard that's been going to be done away with. The next point is a new bench division will be established in the Crown Court for triable either way offences, with likely sentences of 3 years or less being heard by a judge alone. So either way offences are offences where you would either go to the Crown Court or the Magistrates Court. Now, at this point, they're going to say there's not going to be either way offences. You are immediately going to be tried by a lone judge. Now, remember what we said earlier about the importance of jury trials? Well, this is where the lone judge comes in. If you were sentenced to a maximum of 36 months, so Sam Melia, Sven Longshanks, many others who have been put in front of a jury for speech crimes, hate crimes, etc., you will now immediately, if it's an either way offence like this, which could be heard by the Crown or the Magistrates Court, you will immediately go in front of a lone judge who may be politically motivated, may be biased, may be part of the Labour Party. You may have spoken out against the Labour Party and you might not like that, but you're going in front of a judge now and not a jury. Absolutely scandalous. But it gets worse. You know it's going to get worse. A small number of serious, but particularly technical and lengthy fraud and financial cases may also be heard by a judge alone in the Crown Court, subject to certain requirements and at the discretion of the court. So if it's a lengthy financial or fraud case, kiss goodbye to a jury hearing about that, because apparently normal people are too stupid to understand that, and only a judge can understand that and decide your fate. Again, remember what we said earlier about these protections, and remember what they're doing. They are eroding these protections at an incredible rate. And when it's when you're looking at something like this, you can absolutely 100% see what they're doing, what they're saying, and how this goes against the very reasons we have juries in the first place. Absolutely scandalous. And finally, the threshold for criminal damage to be tried summarily will be updated from £5,000 to £10,000 in line with inflation, which, you know, just tells you how bad inflation is and how awful things are for normal people anyway. So as you can see, that tells you exactly what they are trying to do. That's really what is what they are trying to do. Now, let's talk a little bit about the two people that are behind this. Now, the first person, or the person who is most visible, is obviously this man here on screen, David Lammy, the Justice Secretary and Deputy Prime Minister. Now, he was born on British soil. He does have, obviously, British citizenship, but he's of Ghanaian descent. He is certainly not English, although he tries to claim he's English. English is an ethnicity. He is not English. If I had been born in Ghana, would anyone call me Ghanaian? No, they might say I've got a Ghanaian passport, Ghanaian citizenship, but I wouldn't be ethnically Ghanaian. The fact that he claims he is English is an insult to every English man and woman, because he's basically trying to be something he can't be. And I think he does this to rub sort of salt in the wound, to basically spit in our eyes. Very insulting indeed. Anyway, this is what it says. Jury trials scrapped for crimes with sentences of less than 3 years. They're acting like this is a done deal. It's not yet, and we'll talk about that later. Jury trials in England and Wales for crimes that carry a likely sentence of less than 3 years will be scrapped, the Justice Secretary has announced. The reforms to the justice system includes creating swift courts under the government's plan to tackle unprecedented delays in the court system. Now, you can see here straight away, the BBC are doing what the BBC always do. They're running defence for the Labour Party. They obviously love this, and they're making out that they're selling this. They are selling this. Serious offences like murder, robbery and rape will still go before a jury, and volunteer community magistrates who deal with the majority of all criminal cases will take on even more work. David Lammy said the reforms were bold but necessary. But the Conservative Party described the plans as the beginning of the end for jury trials. So with Lammy, he's taking a lot of the blame, and he should be taking a lot of the blame, but he's very much the front man for all of this. David Lammy is not the man who came up for this. It might not shock you for me to say this, but David Lammy is not not the mastermind behind this. He is just the Justice Secretary at the time that this is happening. Now, the man who's actually behind this is a guy called Sir Brian Leveson. He is the Jewish individual who's masterminded this. Now, after he retired from the bench, he was appointed to lead a once-in-a-generation independent review into the efficiency and backlog crisis of the criminal courts, which included controversial suggestions to limit trials by jury. So let's have a look at this, because, you know, we should be angry with David Lammy. You know, he's a member of the government, but we should also bear in mind that he isn't the man behind this. This is the man who's actually behind this. Court delays unacceptable for victims and defendants, says ex-judge. This is Sir Brian Leveson, the Jewish individual who masterminded this. Court delays experienced by victims and defendants are unacceptable, the man leading the government's review into the backlog criminal cases has said. Sir Brian Leveson, a retired High Court judge, told the BBC Radio 4 Today programme radical steps would need to be taken to tackle the crisis. And we're going to get to what the crisis really is in a minute, which has seen cases added to the criminal justice system faster than they can be removed. And it goes on to show, it goes on to really sell this. And this is all the way back from the 14th of December last year. So it was Labour that actually commissioned this, and they put this Jewish judge in charge of it. And immediately when he was placed in charge of it, you know, this is what he was doing. And he's basically now stepped into the background. So David Lammy is getting all of the sort of fire for this, but it's actually Brian Leveson who masterminded this. He was put in charge of the committee. He's the one who wrote the report. He's the one that wants to overhaul the English justice system. And David Lammy is basically his sort of little man on the ground who happens to be justice secretary and pushing it through. But what you can see here, you've basically got a man of Ghanaian descent and a Jewish individual who are together dismantling the cornerstone of the English justice system. And that is something we will come back to shortly. But I don't think Brian Leveson is telling the truth. I think Brian Leveson is essentially making things up. You see, their reasoning behind this is all about speed. And what they're saying is that everything is backed up. So the primary reason for all of this, the reason we need to get rid of juries, this sort of more than 1,000-year-old English tradition, is apparently because the backlog in the criminal courts are so bad. And, you know, these people all of a sudden feel so terrible, not just for the victims, but for the defendants. So we have to clear this backlog. You know, these people are just thinking of what's good for society. I'll let you decide that for yourself. And they keep saying it's an independent report. Labour commissioned it. I'd like to see how this guy voted, what his political... well, actually, I know his political leanings, because the Leveson report is something different. He was actually someone who was commissioned by Tony Blair to review the powers of the media. And his proposals were so outrageous, even the Blair government were too scared to take them on. He actually wanted to set up a panel that would allow media outlets to be closed down and shuttered if they said the wrong thing. So this guy is no friend of freedom of speech. He is no friend of freedom of information. So this is a guy who has previously served the Blair government and actually wanted to set up a quango that allowed the media to be even less free than it is today. So I think they handpicked this guy because they knew he would come up with the answer that they wanted, and it would be the most radical and anti-democratic answer possible. And this is Sir Brian Leveson. You can look into it himself. And he starts talking about tackling backlogs and delays and says that the number of cases waiting to be heard in the Crown Court is around 80,000 cases. And he argues that justice delayed is justice denied, and the current waiting times are often several years, and this fails everyone in the system. And he says that if you had judge-only trials, this would speed things up by about 20%. And if we don't speed things up by this 20%, he starts talking about system collapse and says, you know, we are going to, in his own words, that we're going to see a total system collapse. I mean, he says this in this article that, you know, we're going to see this collapse of the justice system. And he was saying this sort of a year ago. So I think he already knew what he was going to do. I think he knew which way this was going to go. And then they talk more about victim and witness welfare, saying that long delays have caused victims and witnesses to drop out of prosecutions. Their evidence quality is affected over time. It places burden on jurors, especially in lengthy and technical fraud and financial cases, which they discussed earlier. So they're being the good guys, you know, this takes the pressure off witnesses, off victims, off juries. And then they go on to say that criminals game the system. You know, apparently gaming the system is now asking for the right to a jury trial. That's not gaming the system. That is how the system was designed to ensure proper justice. But they're saying that these either way offences are being used to deliberately cause delays. So obviously, justice for you and a fair trial is gaming the system. And this is what they actually believe. They actually believe that the ability to attain a fair trial is gaming the system is wrong, that you shouldn't have the right to a jury trial. The English justice system is too fair and is thus being gamed. Fairness is not about gaming the system. Fairness is about ensuring justice. You remember, I quoted this a while ago, a famous individual, I think it was a famous former judge, once stated that he would rather 100 criminals walk free than one innocent man ended up in jail. That was how the English justice system worked. It worked on the basis not of ensuring convictions, but on ensuring that innocent people weren't convicted. It was more important that an innocent man didn't end up in jail than you just jailed everyone to catch all the criminals. This was a system that was built to be fundamentally fair. And this is why people like Brian Leveson, David Lammy and the Labour Party and the BBC hate the system so much. And I'm going to say this now, and this might blow your mind, but they're sort of reasoning, this speed reasoning, is total rubbish. It's absolute rubbish. Now, I've spoken to a qualified legal professional. I actually know about this. The reason why the criminal courts are in disarray is largely because of budget cuts. So money that used to go into the criminal justice system has been massively slashed. To such a degree, it has ruined the system. Now, a few years ago, we actually had a barrister's strike. And that's because there have been huge pay cuts for people who work in criminal justice. And this has actually led to most legal professionals now moving out of the criminal justice system and into civic law, into company law, into probate law, into the kind of law where you choose how much you charge a client based on how good you are, rather than being given a flat fee by the state, which is what you get if you're in the criminal justice system. And the problem why these barristers were striking, and I know that what a lot of people are going to say is, oh, these barristers, they're on like 250 quid an hour, and how can they be striking when they're on so much? Well, I'll explain. Often barristers are required to travel rather long distances for trials, and they are also required to stay over in hotels. But the problem is the cost of travel and staying in hotels has risen so substantially that if you're required to, say, I live near Leeds, and if I was a barrister, I was earning £250 an hour, and I was required to travel to London for a morning's work, I'd have to go there the night before, so I would need a hotel. It might cost me £100. I'd need a train ticket. The return might cost around £100. So I've spent £200 there. I'd need a meal the night before, breakfast, etc. And the hours I work that day in court might only be an hour. Well, if I get £250, but then I've got to pay for train fares and hotel rooms, etc. It was coming to the point where the budget cuts and the cuts in money for those involved in the criminal justice system was so great that you were experiencing a mass exodus from the criminal justice system into non-criminal law. And remember, previous governments put a cap on how much criminal barristers and solicitors could charge. And this was apparently to stop prolific and very rich criminals buying their way out of court. But all it did was create this system where the criminal justice system was massively underfunded. And then there's been budget cuts for courts, etc. And it's basically left this huge, huge backlog where it's not about jury trials. It's about judges. It's about getting criminal justice lawyers. There's a huge, huge problem. And it's largely budget cuts and the way that money has been diverted away from the criminal justice system. There's also been a huge problem with increased population. We all know, and we're not going to go into the figures, but we have massive, massive amounts of people coming here thanks to mass immigration. Our population has increased massively, and there's been a massive increase in crime thanks to immigration. Now, when you increase the population, if everything is to run the same way as it did before that population increase, everything has to increase pro rata. Everything has to go up proportionally. So if you have a population of 35 million and you have 20 courts, and then you double the population to 70 million, you'd need 40 courts. These are just abstract numbers. But if the population increases to 70 million and you only increase the courts to by a factor of a quarter, and you end up with 25 courts and 70 million people, you're not going to be able to deal with that number of people. And essentially, that very simplified analogy and those simplified figures I've given you is what we're facing today. We're facing a situation where the population is increasing. We're bringing in people who are often more likely to commit crimes, and we don't have more courts. We don't have more judges. In fact, we have budget cuts at a time when the population is increasing. But we've not just increased the population, we've also increased the number of criminal offences. So previous governments have added to the number of laws on the books, and the number of criminal offences that now exist are also much, much greater. And that's got to be taken into account. So, you know, it's like saying, you know, you have 35 million people, you have 20 courts, you double the number of people, but you also double the number of criminal offences that they can be arrested for, but then you only build five extra courts. Well, then you're in real, real bother, aren't you? And that's essentially what has happened. And there's something else that's happened. Many of our police forces and much of the criminal justice system has been reorientated. There's been this massive increased focus on so-called hate crimes, which amount to speech crimes and thought crimes. And this has clogged up the system. This is actually what is causing such a massive problem in the criminal justice system. The police are dealing with all of these. This person said this on Twitter. This person misgendered me on Facebook. These non-crimes, and busybodying around. And the courts then also have to deal with that. And the government simply isn't going to appoint more judges. Why isn't it going to appoint more judges? Well, it doesn't want to appoint more judges because these judges are essentially political appointments. Judges are appointed because of really what they think, not whether they're doing a good job. And because of that, the whole system has become politicized. And there is sort of a vetting process. And this vetting process also holds up the system. There's plenty of people out there to be juries. It's actually that there aren't enough judges being appointed and there aren't enough courts to deal with all the cases. But not only are they not going to build courts because there's massive budget cuts, they are not going to fairly appoint judges because they want to make sure the judges have the right outlook to ensure that they get the right result. And this is sort of the damning indictment of the modern criminal justice system, is it's not about justice. It used to be about justice. Now it is about convictions. It's about ensuring that the conviction rate rises and that the right people get convicted. And that is a major problem. So if this whole narrative of speed is just absolute, you know, bull feces, what's the real reason they are changing the justice system? Well, the real reason that Sir Brian Leveson and David Lammy are so desperate to change the justice system is because, as I said earlier, judge-only trials are more likely to get convictions. And specifically, they are far more likely to get political convictions. Okay? Now, before we talk about that, there's a quick diversion here. This isn't to be seen in a vacuum. What we're seeing now is actually part of a much wider attack on the English justice system. And we've seen a massive reduction in the protections that were part of the English justice system post-World War II. We used to have jury selection. We've already lost that. We used to have majority. We used to have a unanimous verdict. Now it's majority verdicts. We've seen the end of double jeopardy. You can now be tried for the same crime twice, even if you were found not guilty the first time. Absolutely shocking. And we also now allow what is known as prejudicial evidence in court, which wasn't previously allowed. Prejudice, you understand the rest of those points, but prejudicial evidence is very important. So if you had, if you were accused of burglary and you had got five previous convictions for burglary, those previous convictions would be mentioned in court. But if you had, if you were on trial for burglary, but you'd got five previous convictions for completely unrelated things, you didn't used to be able to bring those things up in court unless you lied about them and said, oh, I've never had a conviction in my life. Then they could bring them up because you would be proved as lying. But as long as you didn't mention them, they wouldn't be brought up in court because it was seen as prejudicial. So if you, you know, if you 5 years ago, and had a bit of a problem with drinking and you were done five times for drunk and disorderly, and then you were arrested 5 years later when you cleaned your life up for burglary, they couldn't mention the drunk and disorderlies because it was nothing to do with the current case. It wasn't to do with anything that you were being tried for. There wasn't a pattern there. These were separate offences, and there was no pattern to be shown. But now they can bring it up. So now they can bring prejudicial evidence. They can bring in private text message. They can bring in conversations you had with friends, all of this stuff, because it's all about removing protections so they can ensure the conviction rate goes up. It's very, very insidious. But what kind of convictions are they trying to ensure go up? Well, this is really important because this is all about political convictions. And there was an incredibly interesting article published in The Telegraph, which I'm going to show you now. Cutting jury trials will undermine free speech, Lammy is warned. Plan to use judges for most crimes makes it harder to win on free speech defence, research finds. And this is what it's all about. This is from the 30th of November, early this year. Government plans to scrap jury trials for most crimes will undermine free speech. David Lammy has been warned. Campaigners claim the Justice Secretary's proposals will mean defendants who use free speech as a defense for offensive language are less likely to be acquitted. Research by the Free Speech Union found defendants justifying their actions on the basis of free speech were almost twice as likely to be found not guilty in a Crown Court where juries determine the verdict as they were in a magistrate's court where there are no juries. So if you're being tried for a speech crime or a thought crime or one of these politically motivated offences, you are twice as likely to be found guilty when put in front of a politicised magistrate than you are when put in front of a jury. The research followed high-profile hate speech cases such as that of Jamie Michael, a former Royal Marine. A jury took just 17 minutes to acquit him of stirring up racial hatred with a Facebook post urging people to exercise their democratic rights over illegal immigration following the Southport murders. Lord Young, the director of the FSU, said his organisation would be campaigning against Mr Lammy's plan. Trial by jury is a bulwark of British liberty. It was actually English law. And if people charged with speech offences denied that by right, they're more likely to be convicted. In an attempt to... And then it goes on to talk about the 80,000 case backlog that we already dealt with. Under the proposals, only defendants facing charges carrying a possible jail term of more than 5 years, which should now be reduced to three, such as murder, rape and other serious offences, terrorism, manslaughter, GBH and possession of firearms, will be entitled to jury trials. Magistrates' powers are also to be increased, which we already talked about, by extending their remit from offences carrying maximum custodial sentence of 1 year to 2 years. The reform means all defendants charged with either way offences will be stripped of their right to elect trial by jury. These crimes, which suspects can choose either magistrates or jury trials, include burglary, affray, fraud, some sexual offences and criminal damage up to £10,000. Mr Lammy decides to go further than proposals by Sir Brian Levinson, a court appeal judge. This is the Jewish fellow whose review of the court's crisis recommended that offences carrying sentences up to 3 years be denied a right to jury trial. It says he's facing a backlash. We'll deal with that in a second. The FSU research found that 16% of offences where defendants used free speech as a defence ended in acquittals in magistrates' courts in the 10 years to 2025. This is compared with 28% in the Crown Courts. The gap has widened in recent years, with 14% acquitted by magistrates in the year June 2025, with 33% in Crown Courts. So now you are more than twice as likely to be acquitted if you are tried in Crown Court and tried in front of a jury for speech-related crimes. When a jury was considering a not guilty plea for speech offence in the Crown Court, the proportion of those acquitted rose to 75% in the year to June 2025 and 71% for cases over the past decade. So what you've got here, and there's more, you can read the rest if you want. You can look at that article. It's pretty easy to find. So what you're seeing here is this is a clearly political case. This is a case where the Labour Party and Brian Leveson are attempting to ensure that if you are tried for a speech crime, a hate crime, a thought crime, these are either way offences. And if the judge believes or the judge states you will not be sentenced to more than 36 months, this will be heard in front of a politicised judge rather than a jury. Amidst is about clamping down on free speech. Everything you are seeing now is the way the government and a powerful Jewish individual who was the man behind this report have come up with a series of proposals to make sure that those accused of speech crimes, thought crimes, hate crimes, whatever you want to call them, are much more likely to be convicted because their cases will be heard by a lone politicized judge that is not of the common people, that is not going to act on common sense, that is going to be politically appointed, and he's going to pack you off to jail. And a lot of people are opposing this. So this is actually being opposed by virtually every professional legal body in the country. It's being opposed by the Bar Council. That's the representative body for barristers in England and Wales. They've urged the government not to pursue changes, arguing that they are an irredeemable error and the backlog is due to underfunding, not juries. So they agree with me. The Criminal Bar Association, over 90% of Criminal Bar Association members oppose plans to act jury trials. They argue juries work effectively and without bias, and the problem is systemic underfunding, not the jury system itself. So the Criminal Bar Association also agrees with me, and the Law Society of England and Wales, who represent solicitors, has warned that proposals go too far in eroding our fundamental right to be judged by a jury of our own peers. The Nexus Chambers and other legal chambers, who are individual legal chambers, have also issued formal responses highlighting the jury system as the bedrock of our liberal society. And of course, there have been many other bodies, including human rights groups, that also agree. But for the sake of brevity, I've kept this to sort of actual legal groups. But they actually all agree with me. They're saying this is a fundamental right. It's a complete error. And that the jury trials not only work, but the backlog is caused by underfunding, which is something I said. Now, will this all get passed? Because a lot of people are going to say, will this go through? It's going to require an act of parliament for this to go through. It's not been passed yet. Some people are saying it's a done deal. It is absolutely not a done deal yet. So get that straight, guys. This has to go through the House of Commons, but make no mistake, Labour have a huge majority. Now, there's no real Democratic endorsement for this, though. And this is very clear. So Labour have been in now for a very short period of time, about 18 months. And you probably remember the last election back in 2024. This was never mentioned before the election. They didn't campaign on this. You didn't have, you know, David Lammy swanning around, you know, pretending to be English on one hand and then saying we need to remove all safeguards in the English legal system on the other. I think that would have just enraged people and probably might have even caused Labour to lose that election, might have even swung things back in the Tories' favour, believe it or not. But they didn't didn't mention this before the election. And remember, Labour only got around 20% of the overall vote. They got 32.7% of those who voted, but I think it was only about 60-something percent of people who did vote, meaning that only 20% of the population actually voted Labour anyway. So only one in five want these clowns in power as it is. So that's very important. And finally, Lammy has been a bit of a, to put it politely, bit of a scumbag on this, because previously when he was in opposition, he used to talk about how important juries were, how they were the cornerstone of the English legal system, said it was absolutely central to the English legal system. Now he's the man who is standing there with his wig on, smirking like an idiot as he's about to abolish them. So will this get through the Commons? I think it'll squeak through. And the reason I think it'll squeak through is because Labour have such a large majority. I think every Tory, every Lib Dem, I think everyone who's not Labour will vote against this. I think virtually everyone, I say everyone, I'd say virtually anyone who's not Labour will vote against this. And I think there'll be a large Labour rebellion, but it would need to be a huge Labour rebellion. But one thing I would say is it would actually be helpful if somebody created a website, how does your MP vote? And it showed whether MPs voted for or against the abolition of juries. Because I think it'd be a great thing for a political group, maybe a group that provided a patriotic alternative, to leaflet constituencies before the next general election in swing constituencies, which may elect a Reform MP, and tell people how proud their Labour MP is of voting to abolish jury trials. I think that could be done. I think some of these politicians might think twice if they believed that every single one of their constituents was going to get to find out what they really thought. What do you think, guys? I think that would be important. But I think it will squeak through. But I do think there will be a sizable Labour rebellion on this. Now, will it go through the Lords? Because it'll have to go through the Lords. But will it go through the Lords? Well, there's a couple of problems here. The Lords has always been seen as a real counterbalance to the Commons. And the Lords, because there's a number of hereditary peers, they tend to be more invested in ensuring that the status quo is kept, ensuring that ancient protections and ancient laws are upheld. But unfortunately, Labour is now doing its best to get rid of the hereditary peers, not that I'm saying they're all heroes, and they are packing the House of Lords with Labour peers. So this is a major problem. Do I think it'll get through the Lords? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Do I think it'll get through Parliament? Yes, I do. If the Lords hold it up, could the Lords hold it up long enough for there to be a general election and Labour to be removed? Maybe. But if it goes through, it cannot just be repealed. If this goes through, you would then need another Act of Parliament to reverse it. You would actually need someone like Reform to get in and Farage to actually stick to his promises and turn this around, which is again, something that would be putting all of our hopes in a man like Farage. And I've been very kind to Farage recently, and I like a lot of the things that Farage has been doing and saying, but I don't think see him as a saviour character. Now, if you said, me, Mark Collett, is getting elected in 4 years, you could bet your house on it that jury trials would be coming back. And, you know, maybe even a summary deportation for David Lammy for being such a vile man and abusing his position as Justice Secretary by destroying, you know, a more than a millennia old English tradition. But I'm not the one coming to power, unfortunately. So that's the situation we're in. This would require an Act of Parliament, but equally it would require another Act of Parliament to repeal it or reverse it. So what are my conclusions on this? And we're going to do the questions and answers in a second. I've got a couple of super chats, but if you'd like to super chat, you can do so on Rumble, you can do so on Entropy. Anything is very, very gratefully received. I could really, you know, obviously anyone that helps me out, thank you so much. I'll answer any questions. And if you want me to talk about any other news items, I can talk about them if you'd like me to, or answer anything you want me to. Anyway, my conclusions are this. We have got English law, which is or was known as the fairest system of law on the whole planet. The bedrock or the cornerstone of that law is the jury trial. And we've had jury trials mentioned all the way back to 997. This has been something that is so ingrained, not just in our legal system, but in the almost the DNA of the English. And it's now being changed by a man of Ghanaian descent and a Jew. Two people who are not English. They're from other ethnic groups. So you've got two people who are not indigenous to England who are changing the way that the English legal system works and fundamentally taking away one of the most important rights and protections that the indigenous people have had for 1,000 years. And they're taking away this right and this protection so that they can silence them. This isn't being done for good reasons. This isn't a bad decision that's being made for the right reasons. This is a bad decision being made for extremely insidious reasons. So you've got two people who aren't indigenous, two people from other ethnic groups, an ethnic Ghanaian and a Jew, taking away the rights of indigenous Englishmen to have a right by jury so that if those indigenous Englishmen stand up and talk about issues such as mass immigration, talk about issues such as Southport, talk about issues such as Valdo Calicane, the Nottingham spree killer, if we talk about grooming gangs, if we talk about Jewish power, we will then be sat in front of a judge, and this politicized judge will be able to decide his fate, our fate, on his own. This is an absolute scandal. I'm going to say this as well. It's a conspiracy. This is a conspiracy being played out publicly against the English people. One that will rob us of our rights, one that will rob us of freedom of speech, and one that will silence us when we attempt to talk about the genocide that we are facing. Because we're becoming a minority. We're being genocided. We're being replaced. And that's what this is about. This is about silencing the indigenous people of these islands when they talk about their own replacement. And I'm telling you this now, there would be a massive outcry if two English men or two white men were passing laws like this in a country that wasn't theirs. So if English men went to India or Pakistan or Bangladesh or somewhere like that and passed laws that silenced, you know, the natives and stopped the natives talking about horrible things that were happening to them at the hands of an out-group, there'd be worldwide outcry. But there isn't worldwide outcry over this. There are a few people talking about it, and I'm actually happy that Trump started talking about it. And a lot of people don't like Trump, and Trump's made a lot of mistakes. But hell, I'm pleased he's raising this issue. But the point is, this is a scandal. And it's a scandal that leads back to the same place. And by the way, David Lammy also happens to be married to a Jew, by the way. So again, the way I see this is a Jewish man has been given unbelievable power in Britain to make changes to the English legal system by a government that is anti-white. And the proposals he has chosen are so anti-free speech, so anti-freedom. It's unbelievable. And these are then being put forward by a man of Ghanaian descent. This is so fundamentally wrong. But undoubtedly, it will get through the Commons. And this will be something that is another step on the road to tyranny. It's another step on the road to Englishmen looking over their shoulder when they voice their own opinions, because they'll be worried about being dragged in front of a judge. And these political trials will become like Soviet show trials. You'll go in front of a politicized judge, and they're doing this because juries are increasingly choosing not to convict in cases of speech crimes, thought crimes, etc. Absolute scandal. They aren't getting the results they want. Their anti-free speech legislation is to some degree being kept in check by the jury system, which is why we have a jury system. So rather than rolling back their laws, they're going to abolish the jury system. This is tyranny, but it's more than that. It is anti-white tyranny, it is anti-English tyranny, and it is tyranny being imposed on us by other ethnic groups. And that, ladies and gentlemen, brings me to the end of my presentation. I hope you've enjoyed it. That's an hour and 10 minutes, slightly longer than I usually drone on for. But I hope you've enjoyed it all. We've got some super chats. Thank you to those who have super chatted tonight. If you want to super chat, I would really appreciate it. If you can't afford it, I understand. But you know, if you want to, please do. And I'm going to start reading them out in a second. We've got about 200 people watching across all platforms. It's one of those presentations where I wasn't expecting thousands, but thank you for those who've stuck with us. We do have Merry Englander has had a 4-month subscriber streak at $25 per month. Thank you so much for that, Merry Englander. And remember, if you wish to subscribe to me through Entropy, you can set up recurring donations. So if you think I deserve X amount per month, you can do that. You can also do that through Rumble. You can decide to become a member on Rumble, and that charges you a small monthly fee. I think it's about $5. You know, I've got nearly 6,000 subs on there. You know, if 10% of people on Rumble, if just 500 people on Rumble decided to sub $5 a month, I would be over the moon. That would make a big difference to me. So if anyone wants to do that, please feel free. Roman 1488 gave $10. Thank you so much. Said, hell to you, Mark. I wonder if this Levinson is related to the Levinson who wrote many of Martin Luther King's speeches, including his I Have a Dream speech. It's truly remarkable at all of Zog's tentacles and how much of humor. I can't read that bit, but thank you so much. If I say that, I'll be in front of one of these judges. But thank you so much for the $10. I will say this, the only other person, and you're going to love this, guys, you're going to love this. I'm going to bring this up so I get his name right, because I don't want to get his name wrong. But the only other person that I've seen supporting this quite openly and sort of, it's not too much of a bad thing, is actually Melanie Phillips' husband. His name is, I think his name is David Rosenberg. And he's actually the one who is supporting this. I'm actually going to bring up the article. And where is it? Let me just bring this up. Not David Rosenberg. It's Joshua Rosenberg. And in the Law Gazette, Joshua Rosenberg has basically come out, and I want to quote this accurately. I'm just opening the Law Gazette. Believe it or not, I actually have a copy of the Law Gazette here in front of me, which deals with this particular issue. It's actually quite a nicely laid out magazine, I'll give them that. But I can't find the damn article now. But there is, Joshua Rosenberg has written an article in the Law Gazette, and he doesn't seem too bothered about this. So, here it is. Joshua Rosenberg, we can all agree that public involvement in the criminal justice system is a valuable safeguard against state tyranny, but it should not be regarded as an immutable absolute. I didn't expect Melanie Phillips' husband to be crying too much about this, but that ties it in with last week's stream. And if you haven't watched it, last week's stream was quite an entertaining one. People seem to have liked that. Britain's fattest woman ate the fridge and died, gave $50. Thank you so much, and I love your profile picture as well. It's Big Daddy. Big Daddy was the hero of the day in wrestling when I was a young man on ITV World of Sports. Jury systems provide nuance, e.g. a lorry driver broke the letter of the law for dangerous driving, but the company vehicles had their alarm sensors deactivated. Drivers expected to drive the vehicle in an unsafe condition. 10 jurors guilty, 2 jurors not guilty. Driver's family depend on his income. The holdouts were a bin man and a factory worker. Well, this, I'm so pleased you gave that super chat. Thank you for your generosity. This is exactly the kind of thing that happens. Juries do this. There was another case where there was a gypsy who was driving under the influence or driving unsafely, and he ran over and killed a little girl, and the justice system didn't deal with it correctly. So the man, the father of the little girl, wounded this man, and he was then taken to court, and a jury found him not guilty. Because a jury can do that. The jury can look at a case and say, look, we're not entertaining this. You know, you can break the law, but a jury can still acquit in certain circumstances. And that's why jury trials are so important. And as Britain's fattest woman who ate the fridge and died pointed out with that excellent, excellent and very generous super chat, that in cases where people are forced by their employers to do certain things and work in unsafe environments, sometimes laws can be broken, but juries should be able to look at that and say, well, you know, we're acquitting because of the conditions that person was placed in. And that is extremely important. The resident baker gave $5. Thank you so much. And he said, evening, Mark. There is a website called theyworkforyou.com. This website details how MPs vote on issues and also anything they have said in debates. So there is a track. There is a way to track these people. Looking at what is coming in news, Jews really do hate free speech. Yes. Well, thank you so much for that. And I definitely think politicians should be reminded how they voted before elections. Thank you so much. And Draven J gave $50. Thank you for being so generous lately. This really does mean a lot. He says, do you think they are trying to push these changes through because people are waking up and they are nervous, or are they just turning the screw more and more? I think this is about essentially silencing people because more people are waking up. More people are saying, to hell with it, I'm going to speak freely. But also, more juries are choosing to acquit because there is a shift going on in this country. There is a shift towards reform. There is a shift towards anti-immigration. There is a shift towards demanding more free speech. There is a shift towards discourse on the problems that mass immigration has caused. There is a shift also from other communities towards talking about issues of Jewish power. And many more people are getting arrested for speaking out. But juries are increasingly choosing to find these people not guilty. And I think that is the issue. I think more people are speaking out and more people are being found not guilty. And they want to clamp down on this. They want to ensure that if people... They want to do two things. They want to make sure people are scared. This is terrorism. The people doing this to us are essentially terrorists in the true sense of the word. Remember, the word terrorism comes from the French. And in the French Revolutionary period, they referred to their government as terrorists because they terrorize the people. And that is what our government is doing. Our government are terrorists. They are terrorizing normal people. They want to do two things. They want to ensure that normal people are terrified to open their mouths, and if normal people are brave enough to open their mouth, they get jailed for it immediately. That is terrorism. They are terrifying people into silence so that they sit there meekly as they are genocided. Your enemies sit in Parliament. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Your enemies sit in Parliament. And next time there is an election, do not sit on your backside and let them walk back into Westminster. This time, vote for reform. They're not perfect, but make sure you kick Labour and the Tories out of Westminster. Every one of these people, Lammy, the lot, deserve to lose their jobs. They are horrible people. And Charles Turner Jr. gave $10. Thank you so much. He said, cheers, Mark. I've previously watched some of your content scene on Red Ice TV with Henrik and Lana. It was interesting to learn about the history of jury trials. Here's to re-migration. Well, thank you so much, my friend. And he gave the same super chat again. So he gave $20. Well, thank you so much for your generosity. And I'm pleased you've enjoyed my work, and I'm pleased you enjoyed the little history lesson. I hope everyone found that informative. So that brings us to the end of tonight's stream. Thank you so much for everyone who made donations. Very, very kind of you. And if you're watching this on replay, please do consider making a donation, because thousands more watch on replay. You know, you might have a good stream has about 800 people watching live, but can be seen 20, 30,000 times on replay. So please do consider making a donation if you're one of those people who enjoys and would like to contribute. Anyway, I am done for the night. I am now off for the evening, but I will be back on Sunday to review this year's crop of Christmas adverts. We're going to call it Christmas Ads 2025. Do white families even exist? Because according to advertisers, they don't. And I'll be back on Wednesday for another episode of Patriotic Weekly Review with Mike Enoch as the guest. So thank you so much to everyone who was with me tonight. If you're out doing activism at the weekend, enjoy it. Be safe. If you're out at one of the PA Christmas parties, enjoy them and be safe. And whatever you're doing, look after yourself. Stay strong. Keep fighting. You know I love you all. I want to say an extra big thank you to those who donated and to everyone who tuned in. I love this community. I'm always here for you. Thank you for tuning in, and I'll see you again soon. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful night, and hopefully see you on Sunday, and if not on Wednesday.